bizarre. That was very strange.
All right, everyone. Story County Board of County Commissioners is going to reconvene now. Next up is item 11, discussion of possible action. Recommendation to reject all bids received for the construction of the Virginia City Sewer Improvement Project Phases 2 through 5 and authorization to amend the project for a new bid process to commence. Mr. Nevin.
Good morning. Mike, for the record, Mike Nevin, representing All Comstock. I'm your consultant on this project. And as you are aware, the initial bid was let back in the end of April. We had a bid opening on May 4th at the office of our engineering firm, Far West. Myself and your public works director were representing Story County at that bid opening. At that opening, there were two bids received, one from Q&D Construction and one from Sierra Nevada Construction. The low bid, the apparent low bidder, was Q&D, almost $17 million, and the other bid was almost $21 million. And that doesn't take into consideration the alternate A and B that was a portion of the process. Unfortunately, the engineer's estimate for the project is $10.3 million. So we were well over, even at the low bid of $16.9. Initially, we made a call to USDA, who's the funding agency for this project, to see what alternatives that we had available to us at that time. The first suggestion that they made was to try to negotiate in good faith with the low bidder to see if there were ways that that bid amount could be reduced. So the following week, we did reach out to Q&D through Far West Engineering. Those talks resulted in some difference and some savings, but still we didn't feel was in the best interest of the project to concede. We were only talking probably upwards of about $3 million, so we were still over. Then discussions between staff and the engineer and USDA, when we started looking at the bid tabulations, one phase, that being Gold Hill, and there probably at this point are about 50 customers that are serviced in Gold Hill. Well, that portion of the project alone was going to be between $5 and $6 million. Now, we only paid $4.3 million for a sewer treatment plant here in Virginia City as phase one. So it just didn't pencil out. You know, you're talking about $150,000 per customer. And those part of the reason that the Gold Hill portion of the project got so expensive was the fact that, you know, we're dealing with the Nevada Department of Transportation, because those utility lines run down, of course, 342. You're dealing with NV Energy. They wanted, you know, nearly a quarter of a mil, you know, to run some new power to three lift stations. And basically, you know, you're providing, if you will, a new highway through that section to meet the NDOT requirements for a permit to even be issued. So we decided, consultation with staff, your local staff here, and County Manager Witten and the folks at USDA to eliminate that phase and suggest to the Board of Commissioners at this meeting today that you reject the two bids that were received and allow for the project to be rebid. One thing that it does is we also reached out to three other potential contractors. Some of them were aware of the bid, but for one reason or another couldn't submit a bid. One contractor who you folks are very familiar with, Ames Construction, is doing the USA Parkway project currently. They weren't even aware of the bid and are very, very interested in bidding when we go back out on the street for the project. The other two are Peak Brothers, who you're familiar with. They did a courthouse lot over here on the north side. They originally could not submit a bid because of some financial concerns that they had that have since been resolved. And I think it had something to do with the amount of the bid bonds, if you will. And the other one was A&K Earth Movers, who we used originally for the two reservoir projects. So, you know, I think by doing it this way, we'll have more out there in the playing field, so to speak, and hopefully some better results. When we took a look at the bid items and made some adjustments, specifically with the elimination of the Gold Hill section in its entirety, our new engineer's estimate for the base bid comes in about $9.6 million. So we're hopeful that by proceeding in this manner that, you know, we'll get some more competitive numbers out there. And these figures are based on taking a look too at those two bids that we received, and, you know, making some adjustments and allowances per some of the pricing that was received. So I think we're on the right track. Yeah, it delays the project a bit, but I think it's in the best interest of Story County to proceed in this manner. So I'm recommending that the Board of County Commissioners today reject the original bids that were received from the two bidders and allow us to proceed with advertisement for rebidding the project. And the timetable, we would advertise this Friday in Comstock Chronicle with a new bid opening of July 7th to be placed on your agenda for July 18th, because you won't have a meeting prior to that. And then the notice to proceed would be issued to commence the project sometime middle of September. And I think that this is the right thing to do, and primarily for funding concerns. And we do have received Saturday an email from USDA's Nevada engineer, John Nelson, who is in complete agreement with the rejection of the bids and the concurrence to rebid the project, removing the Gold Hill portion. The other thing about the Gold Hill existing sewer is, if there are funds left over, that existing collection system at the base of Gold Hill could be vastly improved. And I think that would suffice for years into the future. It just, like I say, at this point, doesn't pencil out to spend $5.5-6 million to, you know, provide sewer service for 50 folks. I mean, we could eventually build a plant down there if push come to shove, you know, for probably cheaper than that. So I'm here today. Your grants coordinator is in a class, so I told her I would take the lead on this. Jason is also here if he has anything to add. But it's our recommendation that the initial bids that were received be rejected in the best interest of the county, and the authorization to proceed with rebidding per the schedule that I laid out.
Well, I don't think we have any alternative but to reject these bids, because we never anticipated that the bids would come in this high, so the money obviously isn't there to go to do the project that has been bid. So either the engineers underestimated this by a significant amount, or the contractors who bid are trying to gouge the county.
Well, and one thing that was made mention by a couple of these contractors is these contractors are busy. They're very, very busy. You can see what's happening out in the industrial park. And, you know, there are some labor shortages. You've seen that. It's been, you know, publicized of recent. It's hard to find, you know, good qualified laborers. I mean, it's so...
Well, understandable.
You know, in 2008, it was a little bit different, but now, you know, when they're busy...
Understandable, but the thing is, from the engineer's estimate to the high bid is almost 100% increase, so it obviously has to be gouging going, whether there's a labor shortage or not. That means there's nothing but profit going into their corporate treasury. It's unacceptable.
Yeah.
Everybody's entitled to make a profit, but, you know... In the old days, they'd go to jail for stuff like that. Commissioner Gilman?
The only thing, Mike, is let's touch base after meeting, and I have a couple of pretty quality contractors to add to your list that maybe you haven't considered.
Very good.
But I think we get a good result there.
Jack?
Yeah, more. No.
If we get maybe 10 construction companies a bid on this, maybe we'll be a little bit more competitive.
Yeah, I think so too. Very true. You know, I mean, they know, you know, that they talk amongst them when there's only going to be two bidders. Marshall's correct.
Mr. Chairman, I might add, as Mike has mentioned, eliminating the Gold Hill segment, which has, what did we say, 60 hookups at most?
50. About 50.
You know, and that kind of money, $6 million with 50, 60 hookups, that's a chunk. And then the other thing you need to look at, Gold Hill was designed as either a three-lift system, I believe.
Yes,
so we would have ongoing expenses with both electricity. Right. There were some substantial expenses with getting the correct three-phase wiring in, at least in one location. This makes a tremendous amount of sense at this point.
Well, sure, but had the bids come in at the engineer's estimate, it would be $3 million, not $6 million. So at $3 million, it might have been a consideration.
Yeah.
Continue that phase.
Well, exactly.
Or,
I mean,
you know, potential growth.
We do have the option to eventually reach out to USDA and increase the loan amount. You know, it's still about the 2% interest rate.
Right.
So we'll see what happens, you know, from this point forward if, you know, you folks do allow us to proceed in the fashion that has been recommended.
Well, before I call for a vote, this is an action item, so I'll go ahead and open it up for any public comment regarding this. Mr. Cole?
Thank you. When you approach that, thank you.
And when you get to the podium, if you'll identify yourself for the record.
This Thank you, Commissioners. Sam Toll, Gold Hill. I want to share my opinion and concur with Mr. Nevin's findings as one of the 50 folks who would be the beneficiary of a $6 or $7 million expenditure. I'd have a real hard time every time I flush the toilet to consider the fact that my tax dollars were being used in such a manner. So I, as one of the folks who would enjoy such a system, I think it's a prudent move to consider rebidding. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Any other public comment? Hearing none. At this time, we'll go ahead and look for a motion.
I'll move to reject the two bids received for the construction of the Virginia City Sewer Improvement Project phases 2 through 5 due to the bids greatly exceeding the engineer's estimate of cost. It is in the public's best interest to reject all bids and authorize staff to amend the project for a new bid process to commence.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to is item number 12, discussion and possible action. This is to allow Story County Sheriff's Office to enter into an agreement with Washoe County Medical Examiner's Office. Sheriff? You going to do that or the DA? Mr. Loomis?
Okay. Well, all we're going to say is that we reviewed it.
I did review the proposed agreement with the medical examiner's office. The question was whether or not it had to be approved by the board or whether the sheriff could enter into it unilaterally. It's my opinion that it's the board has to enter into contracts of this nature, and so I think it's a long-standing process whereby the Washington County Medical Examiner's Office provides services for autopsies and medical examinations and whatnot.
And in looking at this contract, it's a contract that has been renewed every 3 years, and so substantially the information in the contract has not changed, so the contract provisions are essentially the same. The only thing that has changed is that the medical examiner, Ellen Clark, retired, and the new Laura, what was her name? We have a new medical examiner in Washoe County. Laura.
So are all the fees identical as what they were before? Because I noticed that there's some of them look a little outlandish. Waiting time and travel time at $450 an hour, maybe.
I'm not sure on that. As far as we're just looking at
it, not a whole lot of time or waiting time might go into it. When you look at all the fine print sometimes, it's like, wow.
A lot going on down there.
That's a lot to get paid for not doing anything.
The agreement that we're talking about doesn't address the fees. The fee schedule may have been involved in there. They normally send that out on an annual basis. The fees that they are now charging were incorporated into this year's budget cycle, and there was a minor increase across the board.
I'm just looking for the new coroner's name for the record.
But it's pretty much the only game in town unless we're going to ship bodies to Sacramento or Las Vegas.
And you rarely, if ever, Sheriff, have them coming up here or anywhere else in the county waiting. I mean, this is the body winds up getting delivered to the coroner and
We send the work to them. This is just to be able to use them for services.
Right. And the coroner, it's usually the funeral home that picks the body up, not the coroner. Or excuse me, the medical examiner's office in our county.
Would there be an exception for crime scene investigation if the coroner
is here? That falls under a whole different contract.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
That's a whole different group.
Right. Yeah, this contract is strictly just for their services at medical examiner.
Yeah. All right. And the new medical examiner's name is Laura Knight. Thank you.
Very good. Commissioners, have any questions? Okay. This is an action item as well, so we'll open it up for public comment. No public comment? I go ahead and get a motion to approve this.
Okay. I make a motion to approve the interlocal forensic pathology services agreement with Washoe County Medical Examiner's Office.
I'll second.
Then moved in second to enter into this agreement with Washington County Medical Examiner's Office. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Item number 13 is being continued. Is that continued to the next regularly scheduled meeting or to an indefinite?
To the next meeting, specifically
okay. June 20th. All right, so item 13 will be continued to June 20th. We're going to move item number 14 fall in after item 18. We're going to move things around a little bit. At this time, we'll go ahead and recess as the Story County Board of County Commissioners, and we will convene as the Story County Liquor Board. Next up is item 16, discussion of possible action, approval of the on-sale liquor license for Jennifer Nair for the Palace Restaurant and Saloon at 54 South C Street, Virginia City, Nevada. Full disclosure, I also hold a liquor license in proximity to the Palace Restaurant. Voting on this would no more affect Ms. Nair than anyone else who holds the same license within this jurisdiction. Commissioner Gilman?
Yeah, I have the same comment as you made on the issue. Thank you.
Okay, Sheriff?
We've concluded the background investigation on this. There was nothing that precludes the applicant from holding a license. Anybody who doesn't know her, Jennifer Nair, she pretty much grew up there waiting tables all through high school and beyond. She's well aware of the practices and the community, everything. Very suitable, and I think she'll do a great job over there. One thing, it didn't get worded that way on the agenda. This is the second. You had already done the first approval about a month ago, I believe.
Right.
So this is the second reading.
It's the second reading.
We right. recommend approval.
Yeah, Jennifer, I think she's been there for 14 years, so she worked her way up to buying the business.
Yep.
It's great.
Is that Jenny?
Mm-hmm.
Is that Jenny? Really? Wow.
And her husband, by the way, is the project superintendent on the community chest building for Sheehan Beauchamp.
Terrific.
Oh.
That's great.
Janice.
And her mother just retired from the assessor's office.
Yeah.
So, any commissioners have any questions regarding this?
No questions.
Okay, it's an action item, so we'll take any public comment regarding this liquor license application. Second reading. Hearing none. Motion for approval.
I make a motion to approve the second reading on on-sale liquor license for Jennifer Nair from the Palace Restaurant and Saloon, 54 South C Street, Virginia City, Nevada.
Second.
We moved in second to approve the on-sale liquor license for Jennifer Nair at the Palace Restaurant. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 17, which is discussion and possible action, amendment to the current liquor license, approval of the off-sale liquor license for Connie Carlson for the Silver Queen Sisters, 28 North C Street, Virginia City, Nevada.
On this one, Connie just wanted to expand her opportunities a little bit and be able to sell alcohol that walks out the front door with her. She's had a license almost forever and no violations, good standing, so would recommend approval.
Yeah, the family's had that business for many, many years. Once again, for full disclosure, I also have a license in proximity to the Silver Queen, and voting on this would affect her no different than anyone else in proximity. So.
I make the same disclosure as Marshall made.
Very good. Any public comments? Hearing none, motion for approval.
Okay, I'll make a motion to approve an amendment to current liquor license, adding an off-sale liquor license for Connie Carlton for the Silver Queen Sisters at 28 North C Street, Virginia City, Nevada.
Second your motion.
We're moving to second to approve this liquor license for Connie Carlton. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. The sheriff voted yes to. All right. Motion carries unanimously. Okay, we're going to go ahead and adjourn now as the Story County Liquor Board and reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners. And now we're going to go ahead and go back to item number 14. This is the discussion of possible action, approval of the general business license for Jennifer Nair for the Palace Restaurant and Saloon at 54 South C Street, Virginia City, Nevada.
Nothing new to offer on it, but we've already talked about it under liquor, but if you have any questions, I'll do what I can to answer them.
I have no questions.
No questions.
So we'll open up once again any public comment regarding this business license. This is for the restaurant portion of the license. Hearing none, call for motion.
Make a motion to approve the general business license for Jennifer.
Disclaimer?
No, it's a general business license.
Okay.
It's not lifted.
All right, good. Thank you.
Okay. Again, I'll make a motion to approve the general business license for Jennifer Nair for the Palace Restaurant and Saloon, 54 South C Street, Virginia City, Nevada.
I'll second your motion.
Moved and seconded to approve this license. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All righty. Moving along now to item number 19, discussion and possible action. First reading ordinance number 17-275, amending Story County Code Title 17 zoning 17.10 and 17.12 pertaining to marijuana and medical marijuana establishments, including prohibition of allowed uses, special uses, accessory uses, temporary uses within all zoning districts, and other properly related matters. Mr. Loomis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Keith Loomis, District Attorney's Office. This is basically a proposed ordinance requested through the County Manager's Office. It's been through the Planning Commission with a recommendation of approval. The purpose of the ordinance is basically to clarify first that when there's a reference to the prohibition on the use and cultivation of marijuana, that this includes medicinal marijuana as well as recreational marijuana. The ordinance also expands the type of uses that are not authorized to include marijuana establishments, which includes testing laboratories, cultivation facilities, production facilities, and things of that nature. There was a comment that was brought to my attention recently by Commissioner McGuffey under Section 2, Paragraph B, Subsection 2, where it presently reads that the sale or display of items intended for use as marijuana paraphernalia to persons under the age of 21 years is also a prohibited use. Question was, what does that mean? And I would take responsibility for the fact that that is not very well worded, and I have reworded it to make it clear what it is I was trying to say. And what it would say now is, the display of items of marijuana paraphernalia is intended for sale to persons under the age of 21 years is also a prohibited use. Sales of paraphernalia to people over the age of 21 is legal. Sales to people under the age of 21 is not. It can be prohibited by a county zoning ordinance. So I am asking that that language be amended to reflect what I've said. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
You comfortable with that?
Thank you. Yeah, we talked.
Okay.
I'm good with that now.
Okay. Commissioner Gilman?
No questions.
Okay. I'm good with it, too. Okay, this is open for discussion and as possible action, so we'll open up for any public comment. Mr. Cole?
Sam Toll, Gold Hill, Storyteller Online. A couple quick comments regarding the ordinance itself. I'm in possession of a letter from Story County Community Development dated July 27, 2015 that talks about this specific ordinance and its use. I don't know if any of y'all recognize this. This is a root beer barrel, which is handed out to folks by the Root Beer Barrel Kid, who I deemed as such. His name's Quigley. So the building that is illustrated as the problem child, or the type of business that has infractions of this particular code, could basically be a picture of his building. And a source of consternation amongst many merchants on C Street is the unfair application of this ordinance. I find it interesting that we're going to go ahead and modify this ordinance to address medical and commercial marijuana usage, but we're going to sort of gloss over the fact that this ordinance is not uniformly enforced throughout businesses here on C Street to begin with. And so, you know, inconsistent application of the law is something that borders on hypocrisy. And that's something that as a kid growing up, I, you know, took notice of and took umbrage of. The other thing I'd like to talk about with respect to the proposed rewording of the ordinance is to ask a question: does this mean that we're going to prohibit everyone in the county from their legal ability to cultivate recreational and medical marijuana in their homes? Is that going to be under the jurisdiction of this ordinance change?
The personal cultivation and use of marijuana, both for medicinal and soon to be recreational, is authorized by law. The ordinance is going to prohibit the marijuana establishments, not the personal use and cultivation of marijuana.
Thank you. I'd like to sort of conclude by sort of a personal reflection. Story County, to my knowledge, is the only county in the United States who, under contract, manufactures, distributes, and sells a controlled substance. Alcohol is, as you may know, the most dangerous substance, or in my opinion, the most dangerous substance that affects public safety. It's responsible for a 9/11's worth of deaths every month across the country. And if you were to ask law enforcement, if they were to encounter a person who is under the influence of alcohol when making an arrest, or a person who's under the influence of marijuana while making an arrest, preference would be that they would deal with a person who's stoned and not drunk. I think that the fact that Story County folks have approved question two in the 2016 election reflects that principled conservative Republicans share the notion that the 1930s, style of addressing this problem is one that should be in the rearview mirror. I noticed that in the wording of the proposed change, there's a whereas that talks about the federal government being prohibiting these substances. I would remind folks of the 10th Amendment and its application on that sentence. But the hypocrisy of this county producing alcohol and selling it as taxpayers, and then prohibiting someone from opening a legal a business to provide these products, marijuana products, to the public, speaks for itself. And I just like to go on record as saying that if we proceed with this process, then we'll probably be employing those pool attorneys that were here with a lawsuit from the folks who have, as we've discussed in October, a license pending. So I just want to share those thoughts with you. Thank you very much for your time.
I have a question for you.
Please.
Early in your statement, you said that there's a you're calling the county hypocrisy. You know, there's hypocrisy decisions being made. Some people are getting away with stuff and some aren't. But you didn't say anything. That's kind of wide open, bland stuff. Do you have any proof to back that up?
Yeah, so I have spoken with pretty much every vendor up and down C Street who sells products. When you look at the fact that this gentleman is has loud music in front of his building, he's got signs posted in direct violation of this ordinance, and there's folks up the street and across the street who are not allowed to play their music loudly, who are not allowed to display their signs in a similar fashion because of violations of the ordinance. That reflects an inconsistent application of the code.
Are the complaints backing those allegations up?
To me, I don't know if anyone has enough courage to come up here and speak in front of you as I do, but I'm pretty fearless. So,
yeah.
But I've had those conversations directly, and I can share with you those folks. And in fact, frankly, as Jason and I have discussed about the sphere of public discourse, if you remain silent, then you pretty much give your consent silently to the misapplication. If you don't raise your hand and say, hey, wait a second, I call foul, then that's kind of on you. So, but I can tell you that that's a a sentiment that exists. And, you know, frankly, I welcomed Austin Osborne and Kathy with their discussions at the VCTC meeting in April regarding a reconsideration of the entire ordinance, how to bring folks into sort of reflecting the look and feel of our community, of the historic nature of what it is that we represent here, you know, having signs that are consistent with the 1860s and not with Coney Island or the boardwalk at Santa Cruz. And I think that, you know, again, if we consistently apply this ordinance to the businesses with respect to, you know, every business, then that will go a long way to sort of mend some of those hurt feelings, because it's the idea that the Root Beer Barrel Kid can basically flaunt every aspect of this ordinance with impunity, because he walks, you know, the folks in this building are walking fairly. Please.
I'm not sure if Mr. Toll understands what we're doing here. Is when you amend an ordinance, you have to publish the ordinance in its full what it says, and then you indicate what is being added and indicate what is being deleted. I think what Mr. Toll is talking about is a different portion of the ordinance that has nothing to do with the marijuana provisions that we're addressing today.
That is correct. However, I guess the point that I'm trying to make is that if we're going to fix this ordinance, we should actually tackle everything that's wrong with it. And I think that by looking at just marijuana and just, you know, the hippie lettuce or the devil's herb as the thing that we want to prohibit without looking at the other things that frankly, you know, again, since 2015, we've been looking at trying to deal with an address at the VCTC meeting. There was talk about bringing that ordinance up. I would suggest that this is the motivations for, inserting these into the ordinance are motivated with different, motivations. And in fact, you know, if we look at the entire ordinance, perhaps we should fix the entire thing before we penalize the business who's trying
to. Mr. Toll, if you could wrap it up.
Thank you. I'm good. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
We're
talking about two different ordinances here. I know the planning is working on the signed ordinance. It's been a difficult to enforce it as written, and so they're making headway with that. We'll deal with the marijuana issue with this now. We'll make it perfectly clear that it's still marijuana is still deemed by the federal government as a schedule. It's a Schedule I drug. It's illegal federally. The last topic on the agenda before this was dealing with, not the exact last one, but prior in this meeting, we talked about USDA and funding with our water, sewer systems and stuff like that. We would be remiss if we want to jeopardize our relationship with the federal government, the monies that they help us out with to do our infrastructure improvements, to go ahead and slap them in the face by going ahead and going forward with legalizing marijuana when it's a federal prohibition on it. So they can do whatever they want to in Washoe County or anywhere, Clark County, and Tick Seeger Bloom can have his events where everybody gets stoned. We don't care what they do in Clark County, but we have to look out for Story County. That's what this courthouse here is all about. It's Story County. We care about our residents, our taxpayers, and our citizens. We don't care about anybody else in that regard. If you'll continue on, Mr. Willis.
I don't know if there's any further public comment or not.
All right. Is there any other public comment regarding this issue? So.
I didn't have anything further to say. I'm happy to answer questions.
No, I'm good with it. I'm looking for a motion to go ahead and approve this ordinance with the corrected verbiage made by Mr. Willis.
Mm-hmm. I'll make a motion in the accordance with recommendation by staff and the Planning Commission. I, Commissioner McGuffey, motion to approve the first reading of Ordinance 17-21, amending Story County Code Title 17 Zoning 17.10 and 17.12 pertaining to marijuana and medical marijuana establishments, including prohibition of allowed uses pertaining to marijuana and medical marijuana establishments, including. Oh, I just read the same sentence over.
Yeah. I know.
Oops.
Okay. You want him to start over again?
Okay. I, Commissioner McGuffey, make a motion to approve the first reading of Ordinance 1725-25. 17-275, amending Story County Code Title 17 Zoning 17-10 and 17-12 pertaining to marijuana and medical marijuana establishments, including prohibition of allowed uses, special uses, accessory uses, or temporary uses within all zoning districts and other properly related matters. And this will also include the correction of Section 2, Paragraph B-2.
Thank you. I'll second your motion.
And moving to second to approve the first reading of ordinance number 17-275. All those in favor,
If I can read the title in before we take the vote.
Do you want to read the title?
Yeah. This title is an ordinance amending zoning provisions in Story County Code Title 17 to clarify that the prohibition on the use of property for the sale, cultivation, dispensing, or display of marijuana includes medical and recreational marijuana, expanding that prohibition to include prohibitions on medicinal marijuana establishment uses and recreational marijuana establishment uses, removing the prohibition on the sale or display of marijuana paraphernalia to persons over the age of 21 years or use of marijuana by persons over the age of 21 years, and providing other matters properly related thereto.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Lewis. So I have a motion and a second.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Very good. Thank you, Mr. Loomis. Moving on now to item number 20, discussion of possible action. Authorize the county manager to approve contract with Battleborn Consulting Services, an LLC, for the assistance in providing the administrative functions and oversight of the Story County Community Development Department. Mr. Witt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With the retirement of Dean Haymore coming at the end of this month and 30 years of both leadership and institutional knowledge in community development, the approach to finding the next solution, the next path, has been a daunting one. Certainly, we could consider looking outside, but there are a number of reasons why I am advocating, staff is advocating, that we not. Your average run-of-the-mill available building inspector, and I'm not saying we have any of those in our work team, that we could get typically comes with a lot of bureaucratic encumbrances, for lack of a better phrase. They come in with an attitude frequently. We've seen this at the lower levels. Let me show you how it was done in San Francisco or L.A. or even Las Vegas. I can't tell you the number of times that I've sat across from prospective businesses that are looking at locating in Story County. One in particular comes to mind that asked how long would it take to get a permit, and Dean reached into his briefcase and pulled out a grading permit and said, all I need are your plans and your check. The woman, Executive Vice President of Construction's comments were, I don't know whether to laugh or to cry. It took me 9 months to get a permit on just a very small incidental sidewalk in the jurisdiction where she had been previously working with. So that led us to the position that we really need to find the strength internally, or if not internally, through a new structure, if you will. And that opportunity presented itself. First off, I want to stress, I'm aware of a lot of talks, and we're going back to the good old boy days. You got a permanent job forever. This is an independent services contract. And when I run through the economics, I think you will find that it makes, in my opinion, perfect sense. But Douglas County has taken this approach with their county manager position. They have a retired city manager from Carson City, Larry Warner, that I worked with for years. And he is now performing services for Carson City, or for Douglas County, excuse me, under contract. So we use that as a base. We passed the contract through both Human Resources and the District's Attorney's Office to make sure there were no Fair Labor Standards Act tests, independent contractor tests, all the legalities, and the contract that you have presented today does meet all those criteria. The reason why we are proposing to go with Battleborn Consulting, and I'm going to use his name once, but we are really going with a company, and Gary Haynes is, quite honestly, in today's day and age, I would call it as close to a plug-and-play solution as one can possibly have. There is no ramp-up time. Gary is aware and actively involved in all projects throughout the county, regardless of whether they are, wherever they are. He understands the key role that economic development has to play in a local government. Again, going back to phrases that Dean Haymore's used that we find ourselves all using, yet again, is most of us, in fact, hate government. Our job is simply to find the way to make it the easiest, smoothest, most cost-effective way for the people we deal with, including those that are developing projects, big and small. And most importantly, I think Gary understands Story County. We don't have to worry about bringing in that outside attitude and either trying to correct it, break it, mold it, do anything like that. So I am very pleased to be recommending to you that Battleborne Consulting, subsequent to Chief Haynes' retirement, again, after 25 years of his own substantial service to the county and the fire services, steps in and provides those services. I'd like to talk briefly about the economics of this so that you understand all of the considerations or the basic considerations as we looked at this. We, in essence, had three solutions. We could have gone out and tried to replace Dean Haymore. Again, I'm not saying that the dean is or isn't replaceable, but had we done that, between salary and benefits, including PERS and medical benefits, between cell phone allowances, car allowances, and the fact that we go through about a $40,000 car every 4 years, that approach would have cost us somewhere in the ballpark of $207,000 to $208,000. We did have another option that we also looked at in depth. Same scenario with salaries being requested, and those same options, cell phone expense picked up by the county, gasoline picked up by the county, car maintenance picked up by the county, and again, same prorated about a four-year life on a $40,000 vehicle. That solution was going to cost us $262,000. As you can note from the contract that's included in your packets, the bottom line contract price for Battleborne services is $136,248. That's total. Okay. Battleborne, Gary, will have to have his own truck. We cannot provide one, will not provide one. He will have to pay for his own gas. We cannot and will not provide that. Same with the cell phone, same with the tires, all the way through. And then if you peel a few layers of that onion back, if you think about it from a private business sector and not so much the county, there are a lot of ancillary expenses that have to go on with this too. You know, Battleborne has to have its own attorneys. They can't be subject to, you know, to oversight by the district attorney's office beyond structuring of this. So in the long run, just look at the economics, look at anything you want, look at things that you can't know except for perhaps Commissioner Gilman, who frequently sees Gary Haynes as our fire chief at the table, but knows what he will continue to bring to the table. And just know that we are exceptionally excited. I also want to address one more thing that I'm aware of proactively and transparently up front. We haven't been going down this path very long. I would say, Gary, look at me, maybe 60 days, possibly 90 max. This wasn't necessarily our first solution. Wasn't at least the one that I was looking at. There's been a lot of back chat, if you will, about a class in Denver. I authorized that class. I'm the only one in the county that can, by policy, authorize out-of-state travel. But I'd authorize it for this because I didn't even know that this existed. This was simply the fact that we were buried in plan review checks on all projects, not just Tesla. Again, I think Commissioner Gilman would attest that life is very, very active out in the industrial park, and that doesn't include just Tri properties. That includes other properties that have been bought or sold inside Tri, outside Tri. Perhaps one of our most challenging projects right now doesn't have much of anything to do with Tri. It's outside of Tri. The plan checks on those are massively important, both in terms of safely permitting projects and, most importantly, limiting our liability when it comes time to stamping forms and saying a certified, qualified, trained inspector or plan reviewer, in this case, has verified that these plans are safe. That is a forever stamp when that goes on there. So I authorized that class. I understand from Gary it was no picnic. It was about a 70-hour class. I doubt he got to see too much from Denver, but it was not done in anticipation of this move. It was done defensively to be able to put ourselves into a better position to stay up with all plan reviews. And I might add, this was a fire plans inspection. It's not even done by community development. So with that, I'd be happy to answer questions, but I strongly recommend that you approve the contract with Battle Born Consulting.
Do you want to wait until Jack gets back?
Do you want to wait until
Jack gets back?
Yeah.
You want to take a 5-minute break?
No.
Okay.
I was going to ask Commissioner Gilman if he had any questions for Pat.
No questions.
If you're looking for the contract, it's actually in the back.
I saw it.
Two pages.
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah. Here it is. I guess one of the questions would be open-ended term. So I guess you could probably explain it. If it doesn't work out, why don't we talk about how would we terminate this contract? Should it not be what we think it's going to be?
Certainly. Termination is covered in Section 7. Section 7, excuse me, that should be referenced to Section 6.
Six, there we go.
Section 6 references either party may terminate this contract without cause, provided that the termination of the contract shall not be effective until 30 days after the party has been served written notice on the other party. All monies due and owing up to the point of termination shall be paid by Story County to the contractor within 60 days unless otherwise agreed upon by the party.
Okay, very good. Do you have any questions for Pat?
Okay.
No. Okay, why don't we go ahead and... We've
already had a discussion.
Oh, okay. All right, let's open up for public comment.
This is Mike Trifecta, Sam Toll from Gold Hill. I appreciate the fact, Pat, that you're reading my blog and have sort of got a feel for my opinion about what it is that we're talking about here. Marshall, you made reference earlier today to the behavior of the free market. And I think that if you look at some of the contracts that are awarded, this particular contract uses the word indefinitely in its term. I think that, you know, part of the issue that I brought up in some of the pieces that I've written refer to, rubber stamping contracts, having no bid contracts. I'm a guy who delivered on over 2,000 federal, state, county, and city contracts in my career. Every one of those contracts was earned with a sealed bid filled out by a sharp pencil. And that's how the free market operates, okay? Now, if you only have two contractors running for the bid, you're not going to get the same type of aggressive approach as if you have 10. And that's a very accurate and astute assessment. I think that if we simply suggest that we're going to promote from within, then the people that we promote into those positions need to absolutely be the best and the brightest bunnies in the forest. I think that the notion that the reason we're not going to look anywhere outside of our own family is because we don't want to have other sets of clear eyes looking at what it is that we do here, I think is short-sighted. And frankly, when you look at some of the other contracts, again, I've been up and down C Street. Two companies come up, Rad Strategies and Liquid Blue. I'm on record at the April VCTC meeting suggesting that those contracts not be rubber stamped every year, but they go out to bid so that there's a sense that we're addressing and embracing the free market and that we are, in fact, looking for the sharpest pencil. The lowest bidder isn't necessarily going to deliver the best value for our dollar, but if we don't go out and search for them, if we keep those contracts to within our associates and our friends, then that gives the impression of cronyism, and I think that that's something that we need to work very hard to avoid. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And if I may just, a couple things. One is my reference was not directed toward Mr. Toll's blog. It was addressed in other conversations and posts that I've been privy to. An interesting note that I wasn't going to necessarily bring up. There was a post posted by somebody, and again, I don't know who, don't really care, quite frankly, insinuating that Gary Hames was nothing more than a fry cook. He and I talked about that at length. Oddly enough, Gary started almost as a fry cook, actually a dishwasher in one of the local establishments. Worked his way up to fry cook and was damn proud of it. Helped put him into college, helped alleviate some of the financial strains on a struggling single-parent family. So I think some of these things that get said out there, you have a tendency to take to heart one way or another. I might also say a lot of banting of the phrase, no bid, no bid, no bid. This is a contract for professional services, nothing more, nothing less. You don't bid contracts for professional services. We could RFQ, but I got to tell you, I've worked with Gary for 20-plus years. Don't need to RFQ. Don't need to look around. Don't need to solicit for a brighter bunny in the forest, because I've worked with this guy. I've watched him help land Tesla, help land Switch. Can't really take too much credit for Google, to be honest with you. But help land countless companies, including traveling to California on a Saturday or Friday and visiting with a little tiny natural gas or gas packager, Kathleen Harris and Harris Gas. So I stand by my recommendation.
Great, thanks. More public comment. Ms. Bart. Let's give it a few more seconds. That way it'll be easier for the recording. So.
Got you speechless.
Yeah.
Nicole Bard, Story County resident. I have one question. How is this an independent contractor? I'd like to know, because I teach this stuff. The contract as written doesn't meet the state's, meet 3 out of the 5 conditions. It doesn't meet the IRS 20-factor test. And it doesn't meet the ABCs. So I would like to be a student of this right now and have you explain to me how somebody with an indefinite contract that's being paid monthly, although with invoices, but who's performing a core business function on the premises of the employer using the employer's equipment and the employer's rules and only providing guidance to the employer to hire or fire employees, how any of that meets, forget the state, federal law, which the state law cannot overcome. So I'm listening.
I'll either defer to either Austin or Keith, other than to correct one statement that may be critical. He is not using the employer's equipment. Ergo, my suggestion or statement, again, he has his own truck, he has his own computer, he has his own laptop, iPad.
Where is he going to be conducting business?
In and out of both his home office as well as with staff at our facilities and in the field.
My question still stands.
Good.
It also requires a substantial investment, by the way, of a contractor in their own business in order to qualify, among many things, for them to qualify as an independent contractor. So like I said, I teach this stuff, so I'm waiting to hear how this is an independent contractor.
Keith Loomis, Story County District Attorney's Office. This contract is modeled on the contract that's in Douglas County by which Larry Warner is employed as the county manager for Douglas County. The contract is with Battleborn LLC, which is a limited liability corporation or limited liability company not with Gary Hames personally. Battleborn is going to be providing Gary Hames as the person that's going to fulfill the terms of this contract. The way we have set it up is to follow the IRS 20-factor test as much as we can. We have followed the state requirements, and it, in essence, the most important part of it is the fact that it's a contract with an LLC and not with Gary Hames.
It's also an exclusive contract. They doesn't offer these services to anyone else. So thank you for that explanation. I'm still not satisfied. I'm going to take this to others to find out if this does match independent contracting, because you're basing it on an existing contract without, and I'm probably wrong with this, you're basing it on, but little Bobby's doing it and his mom says it's okay. Well, I'm not so sure that the Douglas County contract is legal that way. So, thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Thompson.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, Mr. County Manager, Madam DA, the two prior speakers want to turn Story County into San Francisco. That's what they're saying. They want you to go to Sacramento and San Francisco and LA and put out bids and bring someone in who's experienced in those governmental institutions. Story County is different. That's why Story County is exploding in the local economy. That's why we got Tesla, Switch, Google, eBay, Amazon, and it's not because we cut corners. The inspectors, the prior ones, and I'm sure Gary will, we enforce the same building code and the same environmental standards. It's just that Story County has found a way to do it faster, more efficiently, and they have an attitude of fast turnaround times and assisting these businesses, not hampering them and not trying to shut them down like the people these folks would like you to hire coming from California. And I think when you look at this particular individual, Gary Hames is a standout person in terms of honesty, in terms of work ethic. And if he's qualified to do the job, which he clearly is based on the licensing and based on his experience at TRI, no one existing in the county has more experience right now on the ground at TRI, where all these businesses are, now once Dean Haymore leaves, than Mr. Hames. And secondly, there's no back deal here. As the commission may or may not know, this was not our proposed solution. We had a different thought process, and that was put aside for good reasons. But if this is the option chosen by the county, we support it. He's a good man. He's qualified. He will fulfill your attitude of high environmental quality, high building code quality, but with the right Story County attitude that has proven very effective in bringing in leaders around the globe. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. All right, who's next? No other public comment? I'll speak to this a little bit. When it comes to professional services, and one of the prior speakers had mentioned RAD Strategies and Liquid Blue, and others, when you've got a good team in place and they know how everything works, I don't find it necessary to go out to bid all the time. We've been criticized in the past. We had a long time county auditors of Pringle and Pollard, which turned out to be Pringle after many, many years. I think the county did business with them for more than 30 years. There were never any problems. Sometimes they were a little bit delayed in getting the audit done because of time constraints, so much work and so little time to do it in. But we're going to be switching this year only due to the fact that they're going to retire. And And so they can't take on the work anymore. But, you know, if there's issues with anybody, we'll cut them loose and we'll look on. But simply go out to bid every year for services just to go out to bid every year, I think if you're happy with where you're at, because I've been in the private sector for 40 years, and Lance has been there for about 80. And you know that when you've got a good thing, you stick with it. So I'm comfortable with this decision. I asked County Manager Whitten what the termination clause was in there, and he brought it out. You know, if it doesn't work out for one party or the other, you know, we can cut one another loose on this. And so there you have it. It's staff's recommendation to go ahead and approve this contract, and I'll ask for a motion for the same.
And before Commissioner McGuffey does do that, I would ask through the district attorney's office, we obviously have at least one minor housekeeping detail. That would be cross-referencing. I think it's paragraph 3 or paragraph 6 rather than 7. So if we may make non-substantive changes, just linkage changes in the entry before I execute the contract. I can get those two specifically.
You want to have the correct verdict for Jack to make a motion on?
Yeah, hang on. Specifically, the one that's jumping out at me is paragraph 3, terms of contract, references the contract termination as being section 7. That needs to be corrected to be section 6. That's it.
I was assuming that Jack's going to make the motion. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do I need to list the correction or just state a correction?
I think you can state it. We pretty much, it's in the record that it needs to be changed. So let's just change it in the actual contract itself from Section 7 to Section 6 that is tied into section subsection 3.
So Section 3 would reference Section 6.
Right.
Not Section 7 as it does.
Right. So that's just a typo change. It's clerical. So you could just go on with the motion.
But there's a termination in Section 7?
No, it's in Section 6. But it says Section 7. So basically what it is, it's a typo in Section 3. So as far as the motion goes, that doesn't need to be part of the motion because, again, it was just a clerical error and now rectified.
We can just make the motion as stated?
Yes.
Okay.
With that clarification that we've already put on the record.
So I'll mention terminations in Section 6. In reference to typo in Section 3?
No, just do the motion because we already corrected it on the record.
Okay. I, Commissioner McGuffey, move to approve authorizing Story County Manager to enter the county into contract with Battleborn Consulting Services, LLC, for the assistance in providing administrative functions and oversight in the Story County Community Development Department as set forth in the proposed contract enclosed here with. And to include the noted correction.
Have a motion. Have a second.
Yeah, I firmly support Gary Haynes of Battleborn Consulting Services, LLC, with a second.
All right. I have a motion and a second to authorize the county manager to approve the contract with Battleborn Consulting Services, LLC. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 21, discussion of possible action. Consideration and possible approval of resolution number 17-455 to appoint hearing officers to hear appeals from persons appealing notices of nuisance issued by the county, setting the fees for filing the appeal and setting the amount of compensation to be paid to the hearing officers. Mr. Loomis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Keith Loomis, District Attorney's Office. The new nuisance ordinance that the board passed recently has provisions in there for the appointment of hearing officers, which are specifically provides that among the people you can consider for the appointment of a hearing officer is a pro tem judge from outside of the jurisdiction. The ordinance also provides that the board is to set the fees for filing an appeal from a
a notice of nuisance, as well as set the compensation for the hearing officers and set the fee for an appeal from a hearing officer's decision to the Board of County Commissioners. In this case, I contacted the Carson City Justice Court. They gave me the names of five pro tem judges. I know County Manager Whitten contacted them, found two that were prepared to act as hearing officers if, when the need arises, and those would be David Sarnowski and Jessica Prunty, both of whom are lawyers that are in Carson City. I believe Dave Sarnowski is now retired. I'm not sure if he's still working, but he used to be legal counsel to the Judicial Discipline Commission. Mm-hmm. Jessica Prunty works for a private firm in Carson City. The proposed compensations that are set out in the resolution is $100 for a half-day hearing and $200 for a full-day hearing. That is what Carson City pays its pro tem judges when they appear as a pro tem judge in Carson City. The fee for the appeal is supposed to cover the costs of the hearing officer as well as the for the preparation of a transcript of the hearing before the hearing officer. I have proposed in the resolution that that fee for the appeal be set at $300, and that's what the resolution basically provides.
Just for the record, Dave Sarnowski is retired, and he was with the Attorney General's office for many years before he was he got the new job with ethics, judicial ethics. Jessica Prudy has been with Dyer McDonald Lawrence for probably 20 years. And so I think that one of the things I like about Dave Sarnowski is that now that he is retired, he will have time to do these cases. And also the fact that both of them are on the pro tem calendar in Carson shows that they have had the experiences acting as a pro tem judge before. Both have been in some aspects of civil law during the course of their careers and would understand the nuances in involving a nuisance case. So I highly recommend these two.
Do you guys have any questions regarding this?
No questions. I should ask you, our DA, you know, Dave Sarkowski.
Sarnowski.
Yeah, he was on the Ethics Commission.
He was the attorney for the Ethics Commission.
Yeah. Well, he's the one who wrote the letter that exonerated me from the frivolous ethics claims during my last judicial run.
So you're saying you like him?
I like him, but I mean, is there a conflict there?
I would just stand down, and there could be a conflict there. So if you like him, you could be biased towards him. So therefore, we'd love to see you vote, but I think under the circumstances, it's best that you don't.
Okay.
This goes way back, but when we were talking about the nuisance ordinance, if the person appealing the nuisance before an officer prevails, are these fees refunded to them?
I think so.
I thought so.
I think they do, don't they? Yeah.
I don't know off the top of my head.
Because they should be able to win and then penalize their pain.
Yeah. I think that was the spirit of it anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's always a cost of doing business.
All right. That's the only question I had. Any public comment? Hearing none. Okay. Mr. Gilman?
Yes, sir. I move to approve resolution 17455, setting fees for filing appeals in nuisance cases, setting the compensation to be paid hearing officers, and the appointment of Jessica Prunty and David
Sarnowski
as hearing officers to hear appeals from notices of nuisance issued by the county and authorized by the chairman to sign.
I have a motion, and I'll second it. We move to second to approve resolution number 17-455. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Clerk will note that Commissioner McGuffey abstained from voting. Moving on to item number 22, discussion of possible action
2017-019, BLA by Pamela Loy and Dave Thomas. The applicant requests approval of a boundary line adjustment between lots 331 and 332A of Virginia City Highlands, Unit 1. Assessor parcel numbers 003-101-06, lot 331, and 003-101-67, lot 332A. The adjustment is being requested to accommodate a driveway for lot 332A that was constructed across the property line. Upon completion of this boundary line adjustment, the driveway will be completely contained on lot 332A. The adjustment will be an equal area exchange so that the parcel sizes remain the same. The properties are located at 1935 and 1941 Saddleback Road, Virginia City Highlands, Story County, Nevada.
Kathy? Hi, I'm Kathy Canfield, the Planning Department. There is an addendum that was passed out to you this morning. That goes with this. We had a quick turnaround from the Planning Commission meeting to here. So we've added the summary of what happened at the Planning Commission and then modification of the motions when we get to that point. This is a project that is a pretty straightforward, simple boundary line adjustment. A driveway was built across the adjacent property. This boundary line adjustment will be an equal area exchange and we'll fix it so that the driveway is on the applicant's property. And not on their adjacent property owners. The property itself has two existing residential units on each parcel. This property, the boundary line adjustment doesn't affect their setbacks. All their setbacks are okay. We did receive one phone call from an adjacent property owner. It was more just a question about what they were doing and not understanding what it was. They didn't have any objections to what it was. So that's a pretty summary. This is a pretty straightforward project.
Right. Any questions?
No questions.
Okay. Any public comment on this item? Hearing none. I don't think there's not going to be any disagreement on this. We'd like to read the findings of fact to approve this.
All right. The applicant requests approval of a boundary line adjustment between lots 331 and 332A of Virginia City Highlands, Unit Number 1, Assessor's Parcel Number 003-101-06, which is Lot 331, and 003-101-67, which is Lot 332A. The boundary line adjustment complies with NRS 278.475 through 278.477 relating to the change in location of boundary line. The boundary line adjustment complies with all federal, state, and county regulations pertaining to parcel maps, BLA, and allowed land uses. The boundary line adjustment will not impose substantial adverse impacts or safety hazards on the abutting properties or the surrounding vicinity. The conditions of approval for the requested boundary line adjustment do not conflict with the minimum requirements in Story County Codes Chapter 17.40, Estate Zone, or any other federal, state, or county regulations. That is it.
Okay. Yeah, the applicant is present today. Thomas, welcome. Any other questions? Any other comments? Hearing none. Everything is straightforward, as Kathy pointed out. So if I get a motion to approve this.
It's very straightforward.
The good motion job, would be in the addendum.
In the addendum? The motion's in the addendum.
Oh. I got one marked 22, 23, and 25.
22.
Right at the bottom, Jeff. Okay. In accordance with the recommendation by staff and Story County Planning Commission, the findings under Section 3.A of the staff report and in compliance with all conditions of approval, I, Commissioner McGuffey, hereby approve with conditions for the boundary line adjustment application number 2017-019 for a boundary line adjustment between lots 331 and 332A of Virginia City Highlands, Unit 1, Assessor Parcel Numbers 003-101-06, which is lot 331, and 003-101-67, lot 332A.
Thank you. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
No, second.
Chris, it's been moved and second to approve this. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Okay. You're good to go, Mr. Thomas. You're welcome. Moving along right now to item number 23, discussion, possible action. This is variance 2017-018 by Tim Roth / Jack McGuffey. That was changed to from McGuffey to Collins at the Planning Commission meeting. So. The applicant requests a variance to the side and rear yard setbacks for the construction of a one-story, one-car, we're going to correct that typo in there, one-car garage. The applicant requests the side yard setback be reduced from the required 8 feet to the proposed 4.5 feet and the rear setback from the required 20 feet to the proposed 6 feet. The property is located at 196 South Key Street, Virginia City, Story County, Nevada. Assessor's parcel number 001-253-07.
Chairman, I'd like to, because of my affiliation with Collins Construction, I'll recuse myself from this agenda item.
Okay. Very good. Kathy.
This is a request for a variance to construct a single garage on a residential property. It's a 5,000 square foot lot, and what they're proposing is to construct this one-story garage on an area that's already being used for where their parking is on the property. They have two existing sheds in the backyard that will be coming out when the garage itself is constructed. And they're requesting, the request actually is to, for the side yard, from the required 8 feet to go to 4.5 feet, and for the rear yard to go from 20 feet to 6 feet. This is a through parcel that goes from between O Street and P Street, and the house faces O Street, so it would be the setback would be from the P Street, the reduced setback. Staff is recommending approval. The discussion at the Planning Commission had to do with the historical nature of the property and Virginia City character. The sheds themselves that are out there right now aren't, and so those would be coming out, and the garage would be constructed to match the house, which does have the historical characteristics.
Great. Thank you. Is there any public comment regarding this item on the agenda? Notice that this is going to be a nice improvement to the property. It's going to put in a regular garage, removing metal buildings, and it's a nice improvement to the man's property. So I think if you'll go ahead and read the findings of fact.
This one also does have an addendum, the one titled 23, so that 23. Has the motion in it.
Okay.
All right, the findings. The applicant requests a variance to the side and rear yard setbacks for the construction of a one-story, one-car garage. The applicant requests the side yard setback be reduced from the required 8 feet to the proposed 4.5 feet and the rear setback from the required 20 feet to the proposed 6 feet. The property is located at 196 South P Street, Virginia City, Story County, Nevada, APN 001-25307. The subject property is located within R1 residential zoning with an existing residence as a primary use and the proposed garage is an allowed accessory use. That because of special circumstances applicable to the subject property, including shape, size, topography, or location of surroundings, the strict application of the zoning ordinance would deprive the subject property of privileges enjoyed by other properties in the vicinity or under identical zone classification. That the granting of the variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of substantial property rights of the applicant, that the granting of the variance will not, under the circumstances of the particular case, adversely affect to a material degree the health or safety of persons residing or working in the area of the subject property and will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the area of the subject property. The proposed variance is in compliance with all federal, Nevada, state, and Story County regulations. The proposed variance is in compliance with Story County Code 17.03.140 variances, and 17.16 R1 residential zones when all conditions of approval are met. And the proposed variance is in compliance with and supports the goals, objectives, and policies of the 2016 Story County Master Plan.
Thank you. I can go ahead and get a motion to approve this variance.
Yeah, I want to give a quick shout out to the Planning Commission. I thought they did a very professional job in reviewing and approving this project. I appreciate the help that they give all of us at their meetings. So I'll make the motion in accordance with the recommendation by staff and the Planning Commission. The findings of fact under Section 3.A of this report and other findings deemed appropriate by the board. And in compliance with the conditions of approval, I, Lance Gilman, approve a variance 2017-018 to the side and rear yard setbacks for the construction of a one-story, one-car garage. The applicant requests the side yard setback be reduced from the required 8 feet to the proposed 4.5 feet and the rear setback from the required 20 feet to the proposed 6 feet. The property is located at 196 South P Street, Virginia City, Story County, Nevada, APN 001-253-07.
The motion, and I'll second it. It's been moved and seconded to approve variance 2017-018. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Clerk will note that Commissioner McGuffey recused himself from testimony and statement of vote. And we'll move on now to the next item, number 24, discussion of possible action. SUP 2017-016 by Patrick Bacon. The applicant requests a special use permit to construct a minimum 75-foot high tower to support non-commercial amateur ham radio telecommunications equipment at the applicant's residence located at 188 Martin Lane, Mark Twain, Dayton in parentheses, Story County, Nevada, assessor's parcel number APN 003-284-13.
Okay, this one is for an amateur radio tower that would be a maximum of 75 feet. The applicant, this is at a residential property in Mark Twain, and the applicant has proposed to construct the antenna towards the middle of his property, so he has a 75-foot setback from his rear and side property yard. So in case of a catastrophic failure, it would fall onto his property and wouldn't be impacting his neighbors. We did at the Planning Commission have some discussion with the aesthetics of the tower. In your staff report, there is a picture on the, I believe it's the bottom of the fourth page. It has a picture of what his tower will look like. And it is something that is, it's collapsible. It can go up and down. And so it can go to various heights, but the maximum would be 75.
Telescoping or telescoping?
That's exactly it. We did have two neighbors that spoke about the project having concerns about the aesthetics of seeing it. One was an adjacent neighbor. Another was a person that had concerns they were selling their property and had concerns about if that would impact their property values. The applicant said he was willing to work with them. He's going to have a matte finish to it so we get away from the shiny, anything that's shiny. The applicant had also walked, prior to his submittal for the application, had also walked around his neighborhood and talked to his neighbors and had a list of people that said they were not opposing the project. And that was included in the staff report. There were a few, but there were also many that were supportive of him. Staff is recommending approval. We had a couple conditions that we wanted to change that the Planning Commission heard. One was his insurance. We had originally had a $1 million insurance policy. Because of the setback and where he's placing it on his property and because of the way the homeowner's insurance works, we were satisfied with the $300,000 insurance policy. And that's more in line with how his residential insurance works. We also talked about striking condition U, which is just a duplicate and redundant Condition C covers everything that Condition U covered. And then we added a new Condition U that we were suggesting the wording on, is that the proposed tower design shall be consistent with the engineered plans submitted to Story County Planning Department and as depicted in the staff report for this special use permit. So that's just referring that those plans there, that's what we're looking at, and that's what we're expecting when he comes in for his building permits. That's what his plan should look like. So I know the applicant's here. If you had some questions, I'm not sure if there's anybody else that was here that would like
to speak.
Kathy.
First of all, ask if the commissioners have any questions. Kathy?
No.
No? Okay. Why don't we open up for public comment? Any public comment regarding this? Did the applicant, did you wish to speak on this? You don't have to, but... Actually, you know, I think I would like you to come up just for a moment. You might not recognize me. I attended the Planning Commission meeting last week, and I'm dressed a little bit different today because I don't know which way to signify. But I did hear the concerns that your neighbors had, one, I think, immediate, and one that's within, you're in their viewshed area there. You're within the guidelines of ordinance and law, by erecting this. But one of the concerns, I think, one of your neighbors had were the telephone poles that you have on your property, too. And within, you might be within your legal right to have those, but is there a limit to how many telephone poles you're going to be putting on your property?
That is... the only poles that I would be putting up, and they are within the law. They are not over 45 feet tall, and I put those up for use as putting a small little plaque or flag on them for each of the services that I run telephone patches for injured military people, and I did put one piece of wire around them to use as an antenna for a nighttime antenna. It's almost imperceptible, and a lot of times I need to run these phone patches on the other side of the world at night, because if you're running a telephone patch to, say, the far Middle East, it's daytime over there, it's nighttime here, and the other end antenna that I would put on top of the tower is for a daytime antenna. This tower is motorized, it goes up and down, and I can remotely control it, etc. And it's in compliance, and I feel, you know, I called the powers that be, and they said that flagpoles are exempt from having to get them engineered and everything. I had them professionally put up. The code says that they have to be 5 feet plus 1 foot in the ground, and they were tamped in and everything by professionals. And that's my only nighttime antenna, and I feel that it would behoove me to have those there, and they are in complete compliance with every other pole that's in the neighborhood. I went and took some pictures of the two places that there were two people that commented, and every property owner around me that touches my property said they had no problems with this. This person in the back was one property over, and he was afraid that it might affect his sales of his home or whatever. I took pictures of his property, and then there was another lady that was about 5/8 to 3/4 of a mile away. And she was afraid that this tower would be unsightly. So it's not a lattice tower. It is a pipe tower. And the top section of it is 3 inches square. and it would be nearly imperceptible from a half to three quarters of a mile away, and it is not shiny. It's subdued, and I probably will keep it down a lot of the time. The other poles are telephone poles, but there's poles all around us in that area because the power lines.
I understand that, and I'm familiar with right. your antenna that you're going to erect. But I think you might have to agree that your neighbor's seeing four telephone poles on your property. Although you might be within your legal rights, you might understand how they find it to be an eyesore in the neighborhood.
Right. I think I have some pictures of that also.
I've seen the pictures of it.
Okay. And all the neighbors touching my property and on the other side of the street, et cetera, who have to look out their front door, have all signed that it does not bother them.
Right.
The one man that was worried about his value of his property going down cannot even. He has so many trees around his place that I don't see how he could see out anyway. So I feel that I have complied with every single ordinance and law that affects this, and I would ask for.
Well, I believe you have too. I believe you have too.
And
just,
I've tried
I'm just
very
trying
hard.
To bring up the aesthetics of the telephone pole.
And I'm not some flatlander that came from somewhere else that's coming up here and saying, well, you have to grant this for me. I've graduated from Carson City High School. I've been in Carson City since 1954 and in Nevada since 1948. So I'm very familiar. And I'm the type of person that is familiar with Virginia City. I'm past master of my Masonic Lodge in Silver City. I played basketball with all of the people in Virginia City for years, so I'm not someone that's here to try to force something on.
I'm not insinuating that you are, sir.
Okay. I originally had five poles. One pole is horizontal, and it will stay that way because I found that I could get to where I needed to go without putting the fifth pole up. So I will leave that pole horizontal.
So the new pole is a telescoping pole.
Yes.
And it's capable of, what, 75 feet?
Up to 75 feet. So, and probably, I will not probably leave it there. What I wanted to do was to experiment with what height I needed in order to reach the Persian Gulf and places like that to do these foam patches for injured military people.
Okay.
However, I want to clearly admit to you and make you aware of that is not the only reason that I wanted these antennas. I've been a ham radio operator for 51 years. I have a lot of friends around the world. I'm not telling you I need this for phone patches to injured military people only. I get on the radio every night at 9 o'clock till about 10 o'clock and talk with friends around the United States. And once in a while, I try to work a foreign country so that I can get a little card from them proving that I talk to them.
Okay, next question.
Yes, sir.
With this new telescoping pole, it probably gives you the most range. You're expecting it to give you more range, I guess.
I don't know.
Is that an opportunity to get rid of some of the phone poles? The other phone poles on
no,
your
the,
property?
The phone poles are for 80 meters, which is at 3.5 to 3.8 megahertz.
Okay, I'm just asking. I don't need that information.
Okay.
Does it open the door to maybe remove some of those poles?
Well, then I wouldn't have an antenna on two bands that we use sometimes.
How many poles do you plan on putting up?
I have put up all the poles that I plan on putting up.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Any other public comments? There are none. Ms. Canfield, if you go ahead and read the. Did you want to weigh in on this?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Austin Osborne with Planning. We talked to the applicant. He pretty much explained everything that needed to be explained on the property. It's my understanding, based on the findings and the materials that are in the staff report, as well as experiences in this realm in our past, that a condition may, but I may look to the district attorney's office, that the telephone poles remain in place as they're compliant with the code. They're under 45 feet, but that the condition is added that there's no more of them. I would look to the DA's office, and the reason I'm doing that is because the telephone poles are compliant with the code as it is, being under 45 feet, and they appear to meet the building requirements. But could we add a condition that it just no more telephone poles, no more, of course, towers, because that's pursuant to the special use?
Is that something the applicant would consent to?
Yes.
And with the applicant's consent, I think we could, yes.
Okay. Great. Thank you, Mr. Baker.
Thank you very much.
All right. With that said, if you go ahead and read the findings of fact.
Okay. I wanted to point out one other thing. The special use permit is non-transferable. So we have in the conditions in here that if this gentleman sells his property and leaves, the antenna comes down. Okay. So the next person that buys the property have the rights to this.
The poles, too?
No.
No, yeah. Just the antenna. We're doing the special use permit.
Outside of permit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So when you read the findings of fact, are you going to add that condition to it? There shall be no more telephone poles erected as well.
Add a condition. Okay. Do you want that as a condition or a finding? Okay, so we can add it. So we'll add a condition V, special condition V.
For the record, I would gladly.
If you're gonna, I'll have to have you come back up to the podium, sir. Any time when we're talking, if it doesn't get into the microphone, it doesn't get recorded properly.
I would gladly agree to the what you're asking is that if I sell the property or become deceased or whatever, I will have enough money left in my will to take care, to take the antenna down, the tower down, and the poles down. Okay. So I would agree to that stipulation.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Baker.
You're welcome. And thank you, and I thank your staff. They've done a wonderful job.
Great. Thank you.
Okay, so motions for approval.
Yeah, findings of fact for the approval.
Okay. The applicant requests a special use permit to construct a maximum 75-foot high tower to support non-commercial amateur ham radio telecommunications equipment at the applicant's residence located at 188 Martin Lane, Mark Twain, Storey County, Nevada, assessor's parcel number APN 003284-13. In accordance with Terramino versus Storey County and the PRB-1 ruling of the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC, the county may attempt to negotiate a compromise with the applicant in order to provide for a reasonable accommodation for amateur radio communications in administering practicable regulations with regard to health, safety, and aesthetic considerations for the area. Under the rule of the Ninth Circuit Court noted in Howard versus City of Burlingame, and included in Terramino, the city, county, may deny the antenna permit if attempts to negotiate a compromise with the amateur radio applicant in accordance with factual findings are unsuccessful. Storey County's local ordinances do not outright ban or impose unreasonable restrictions on the height or placement of radio communication towers. Therefore, the federal law under PRB-1 of the FCC does not preempt the local ordinances regulating such structures. The conditions and stipulations in accordance with the motion, which involve placement and other restrictions based on health, safety, aesthetics, considerations, have been crafted to provide a reasonable accommodation for amateur communications and to represent a minimum practical regulation to accomplish the county's legitimate purposes. Title 17 of the Story County Code provides for reasonable accommodation of amateur communications in that certain uses may be permitted by the Board of Story County Commissioners in zones in which they are not permitted by this title, where such use are deemed essential or desirable for the public convenience or welfare. The motion provides for effective and efficient amateur communications at the local, regional, national, and global level. Story County has considered the special use permit application, hereby proposes factual findings to be included with a motion for approval, has engaged the applicant in the appropriate public process, and has attempted to negotiate a compromise for a reasonable accommodation for amateur communications. The applicant has agreed that the supportive structure tower will remain below Federal Aviation Administration, FAA, height limitations, which would necessitate lighting and tower coloration. In accordance with federal regulations under the FCC, electromagnetic and other radio wave interference resulting from the amateur communication systems is entirely within the jurisdiction of the FCC, and that the local jurisdiction may not impose or enforce regulations related thereto. The special use permit allows for additional height up to the maximum of 75 feet for the non-commercial communications tower and antennas on the subject property. The tower is an accessory use to the primary residential use on the property. The special use permit conforms to the 2016 Story County Master Plan for the Mark Twain planning area in which the subject property is located. A discussion supporting this finding for the special use permit is provided in Section 2D of the staff report, and the contents thereof are cited in an approval of the special use permit. The subject property is located within an existing residential neighborhood in the Mark Twain Estates area of Story County. The zoning is estates, and the primary use on the property is residential, which is consistent with the estate zoning. The proposed non-commercial communications tower and amateur radio equipment are an accessory use to the primary residence on the property. Granting of the special use permit will not, under the circumstances of the particular case, adversely affect to a material degree the health or safety of persons residing in the neighborhood of the subject property. The project is expected to meet the safety and health requirements for the subject area. The use will also be subject to the building plan review in order to ensure compliance with federal, state, and other codes. Special use permit will not impose substantial adverse impacts or safety hazards on the abutting properties or the surrounding area and will comply with all federal, state, and county regulations. The conditions under the special use permit did not conflict with the minimum requirements in Story County Code Section 17.03.150 special use permit and Section 17.40E estate zone. Granting of the special use permit will not, under the circumstances of the particular case, adversely affect to a material degree the health, safety, or persons residing or working in the neighborhood or the area of the subject property, and will not materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property improvements in the neighborhood or the area of the subject property.
State something.
Okay. Quite some findings.
Yeah.
Right. We're going to go ahead and get a motion to approve this.
Do you need public comment?
Already asked for public comment before we get to this.
All right. In accordance with the recommendation by staff and the Planning Commission, the findings of fact under Section 3.A of this report and other findings deemed appropriate by the Board and in compliance with the conditions of approval, I can, Commissioner McGuffey, recommend approve a variance number 2017-018.
Is it variance? Should say special use permit.
Yeah, it says variance. Yeah, approve a variance, yeah. You got a variance number, in fact.
Do you have the addendum?
That's what I'm reading off of.
Number 24.
Oh, no, that's the wrong agenda. Huh? 24?
Yes. Last page. Here we go.
Where's
25?
Okay. See? Okay.
Here we go.
Got it. There's too many addendums in front of me. Okay. In accordance with the recommendation by staff and planning commission, the findings of fact under section 3.A of this report and other findings deemed appropriate by the Board of County Commissioners and in compliance with the conditions of approval, Commissioner McGuffey approves special use permit 2017-016, allowing the applicant to construct a maximum 75-foot high non-commercial communications tower to support amateur ham radio equipment at the applicant's residence located at 188 Martin Lane, Mark Twain, Story County, Nevada. Assessor's parcel number APN 003-284-13. And to add to that, with the added condition that no other poles or towers be installed and that all tower and poles be removed once ownership of the property changes.
Very good. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. I move a second to approve SUP 2017-016 by Patrick Bacon. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Okay, Mr. Bacon, you're good to go. Good luck.
Thank you very much, and I thank your staff.
Thank you for that.
I will try to not
do it. Okay, we're going to take about a 5-minute recess. So, when we come.